Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for our gathering together unto you. As it is written, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful that you are here in our midst. He that inhabits eternity, take his time to be among his people and even dwell in individual creation. As we are told in 1 Corinthians 6:16, and even verse 6:16, say, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. We are those people that he talk about. We are so thankful to you, Lord, that God Almighty dwelleth in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Ye are the temples of the living God. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for the hour of worship. Thank you for your loving kindness this morning. Thank you for all the testimony we are hearing. The joy of the Lord being our strength in this evil day of the age. Father, thank you for your love to us. Now, O Lord God, it's written. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, the darkness cover the earth and gross darkness the people, the Bible says. We are in those days right now. But to all, we thank the Lord Jesus that we are walking in darkness. We have the light of life by the virtue of God's word. So as we read this portion of it this morning, Lord, give us a blessing as we always do. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In Acts chapter 16, we read about verse 30, paraphrasing that verse, and the 31 verse. He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Then the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and the house. If by the grace of God this morning, I will take a text from that 31st verse. Say, thou shalt be saved and the house. That is my message by the grace of God this morning. Thou shalt be saved and the house. So, as I've said in Acts 16, we are told of Paul and Silas, to give a background to that verse now. Being unjustly beaten and imprisoned, just for preaching the gospel, they did nothing wrong. They were no criminals. No. For preaching the gospel. They were beaten and imprisoned unjustly in Philippi. And these apostles and so forth. Rather than mourning and being sorry for themselves, we are told in verse 25 of Acts 16. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. These were people bleeding life, being beaten unjustly for the cause of Christ, for preaching the gospel. And the prisoners heard them. Wonderfully, I will think, these other prisoners took note of the unusual response of these apostles. They were in prison for their own, whatever they did to the Roman government that were in prison. But these two did nothing wrong. They were serving God and so forth. They could have escaped because, you know, as we have told in that chapter, none of them really escaped. Even though their chains were broken from them, though the prison just were ajar, but they didn't escape. You know, even these other prisoners and so forth, they want to see what the wonders of all this is all about. You know, so, what took place and so forth, because we see that, when the Philippian jailer was awakened, he saw the prison doors were ajar, they were opened. And naturally, though there had been, an escape, he thought it was, maybe they have escaped, you know. To escape means a lot to him. If they have escaped, according to the Roman law, the officer in charge, you have to pay for his life. If any of the prisoners escape under your guard, as a guard of the prison, then it's your life for them, you know. So now he wanted to kill himself, because if he doesn't do that and they have escaped, the minute the Roman council, right? That's right. And be ashamed to your household. So he's thinking that, well, you know what? I won't put my hand to shame. Let me kill myself and commit suicide. That's what he was thinking. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice out of that darkness that says, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." It was a revelation to Paul, because it was all dark in the prison, right? How did Paul see him try to kill himself? See? It's a revelation of the Lord God showing that man to kill himself. It was after that he said, "Do yourself no harm, we are all here." That is, search for a light, right? It was all dark in the prison and so forth, that you know. So now, what happened there in verse 31 of Acts 16? And then you know, he now called us, we are to that verse from. He was so amazed of the miraculous that he didn't escape. The earthquake and everything that happened in that place, there was a rumble that crashed that rumbled the prison and so forth, and threw the doors open, and the chains of every prison that was broken, not only Paul and Silas, not only that time. When God saved his people, he said it to our land there. At one time, much more in his ministry, when he said, "I will appeal unto Caesar," and on his way to Rome in Acts 27, there are 276 aboard. By revelation, he knew there would be a mishap. God showed him there would be a mishap and so forth. And he warned the shepherds, "Look, don't let us take this thing, let us winter and so place." They didn't listen because of greed, of gain. They listened to him. And they went into a storm there, I think about 14 days or so. No sun, no moon, nothing, no star for all those days that you were put into false fasting anyway. So, but because of Paul alone, even in that case, God saved 276 people. When they were all now afraid, you know, and so on, they were forced to fast for 15 days, I guess it is, and so on. They said, don't even worry. I'll be of good cheer. The angel of the Lord, whose I am, and who has asked, revealed to me, there shall be no life lost in this ship. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so it was. Anyway, so even in the prison here, you know, there was no life. God revealed to him that, you know, that man will commit suicide. He said, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here," and so forth. Then the man, he said, he asked a question. "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer was where I gave my sermon from in Acts 16:31. And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Watch this. "And thy house," meaning your family. That's what it means. You know? That statement is not so. That jailer alone is true today. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. I said that is testament to the jailer is true today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And God has been doing it, and he's doing it today. Now, and he took them, meaning this jailer, took Paul and Silas, the same hour, in verse 33, of the night, washed their stripes, they were bleeding, and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. See that? Not only the jailer, he believed on the Lord, they preached all the gospel to him. And he believed, as they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that shall be saved, and the house." And he believed, he preached all the gospel to him, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of those things. And he was baptized, and all his, straight away, right there, that night, and so forth, you know. So we see. Now, even salvation for your whole family, has is certain in the Old Testament. We always say it. The New Testament is the old revealed. And the old is the new concealed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the certain of saving your whole family and so forth is certain, has is certain in the Old Testament. We pick a few of them. At the Passover night, Moses was given instructions. In Exodus 12, verse 3, I want to start from there. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father. Remember my top subject, thou shalt be safe at the house, right? Okay. So according to the house of their father, a lamp for an house. I tell you of a truth, that is a type of Christ. Christ, the Lamb of God. See? Was a type for a family of all generations to come. If one member partakes of Christ, all the family can. I put can there. Can partake. And that individual should believe that the entire family will partake of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. A type in the Old Testament. See? And so on. You can see that Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they are all speaking about one person, Jesus Christ our Lord. Right from Genesis 3:15, that, you know, you will bruise, you bruise his heel, the seed of the woman, and so on. You bruise your head, and so on. That, you know, all clear through the Bible is about all Jesus Christ, and so on. So we see that idea. So you can, all your family can be saved. That is the plan of God. Now let's see more in the Bible about the old, inserting the Old Testament, right? Noah and his house. In Hebrews 11 verse 7 we read these things. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, not himself alone, saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We are told in 2 Peter 2:5 that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So as we see, there are eight souls who are saved, they were told by water. What happened? Noah's obedience to God's instruction was the means of saving his wife, his three sons, and their wife. His whole family was saved. God did that for Noah, and you can interpret it to mean that he will do so for you also. Praise the Lord. Is God and is no respecter of persons. Genesis 6:8. We are told of him again. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. At the 2 Peter 2:5 we have read before, Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So in God's arithmetic, Noah, supposed to be the first in the family, right? He was the eighth in God's arithmetic. See? He was the eighth. So if the eighth was accounted righteous, the seventh before him were automatically accepted. See? Why? Just as Noah prepared the ark for the saving of his family, and his righteousness, meaning Noah's righteousness, was credited to their account. You too can do that in your daily work with God. Mind you, let me put a warning here. I do not say that God has grandchildren. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, you can prepare an ark, which in our day and dispensation is a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can enter into God's presence claiming that you want all your family saved and all of you translated, thus escaping the terrible reign of the Antichrist and the judgment that will follow in this age we are living in now. So you can do that. I'm going to talk about it later toward the end of this message. So we see Noah and his household. Abraham and Lot. Talking about that shall be safe at the household, right? Abraham and Lot. Abraham is often referred to as the father of faith. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, we have an illustration of this man's grasp of God's intent. He's been to show us God's intent in that chapter. What happened in there? God appeared to Abraham in a theophany, in the company of two angels. By the word theophany, I mean this. Theophany in the Greek are it's a combination of two Greek words. Mean theo, God, phani, meaning appearance. So theophany. In this case, God appearing in the form of man to Abraham in Genesis 18 in the company of two angels. And after Abraham had washed their feet after the manner of the Orientals, he prepared them a meal. Thereafter, God began to disclose to Abraham the purpose of his visit. That purpose is, let's go to Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Did God not already know what was happening in Sodom? Isn't that why he came down? He knew all of those, that's why he came to Abraham. But he said to Abraham, to make it to understand, he said it to him in his own language, where language that Abraham can understand. Praise the Lord. To our long-suffering God, wanted someone to plead the case of Sodom. That's one of the reasons he came to Abraham. He wants somebody to plead the case of Sodom. He wanted someone who would stand in the gap. And when God implied that he would judge Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham responded in verse 23. I skipped many verses in there. Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Even then we know Abraham was thinking about his nephew, Lot, and his family who were living in Sodom. As you all know, Bible readers know, Sodom was a notoriously wicked city. Violence and sexual perversion, like America of today, right, were rampant. Jesus said that, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Anyway, even the old English word sodomy comes from the word Sodom. That the town was where and is seen where some men of the town are tempted to rape Lord's angelic girl. No, God came in company of two angels, right? Those two other angels were in the appearance of man, just like the Lord himself in Theophany, right? Right, so rape them. As we all know, I'm paraphrasing a story right there in Genesis 18 and 19 and so on that, you know. So anyway, and Sodom and Gomorrah were huge cities where tens of thousands probably lived. And God promised Abraham that if he could find only 50 righteous people, he will not destroy the city. And Abraham continued to intercede until God agreed to spare the city for 10 righteous persons. But God did not even find 10 righteous out of that place at all. We begin to think that perhaps at that point Abraham had this to say. Maybe he asked the Lord this question. Now I can't find 10. You can't find 10. If you find that there are not even 10 righteous, will you at least deliver my nephew? I'm just thinking, I read between the lines, you know. I mean, you can't find 10, so will you just even deliver my nephew? I think God will answer him. As we see here, talking about that shall be safe under the house, right? So, in Genesis 19:29, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, because he couldn't find 10 people, I believe Abraham must have asked him about his nephew and so on, you know, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. We are told in the 16th verse that the angels who went to Lot's house and physically drew him, his wife, and his daughters out. That is in 1916, let me read that. And why he, meaning Lot, lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. I believe that Lot's daughters had not yet consummated their marriages at that time. And their exposed sons-in-law refused to leave, I believe. Anyway, God had Abraham and set Lot out of the city, not because of Lot's standing, as we know, with God, not because of what Lot had done, but because of Abraham's favor with God.
Amen.
God sent Lot out because he remembered Abraham, the Bible says. He didn't say remember Lot, he said he remembered Abraham, right?
Amen.
Shall be saved and your household right. So due to this, to his consecration and faith, Abraham was in a place of preferred position with God. God delivered Lot because Abraham prayed for him. God brought Lot out of Sodom before destruction came as a favor to his friend Abraham. He was called a friend of God, right? Jesus said, "Ye are my friends, if you keep my commandments, right? Praise the Lord. I no longer call you servants. Ye are my friends. You do the thing which I tell you to do." So Abraham wasn't on the plane. Abraham wasn't on the plane. So why should he be remembered? Of course, God remembered Abraham for another person's sake. Amen? Why will God remember him? Well, he wasn't in the plane. We don't know, but he did because of somebody else's sake. Lot, praise the Lord. God delivered Abraham's wayward nephew because he remembered Abraham. In Galatians 3:29, thinking, how do you relate? So he did it for Abraham. Who are you in many ways as a Christian? And if he be Christ, which all Christians are who believe the Lord, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then I can deduce from this, like mathematicians will say, I can deduce from this that your wayward relatives are your lot. Amen? Sodom is a type of the world. And you may have quite a few lots around you in the world. You may have nephews, nieces, sons and daughters in the world. But be of good cheer. God is going to bring them out before he brings destruction upon this generation. But you must do something like Abraham did. You must make up an edge for them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, you say, I don't feel as godly as Abraham. Well, you do as a believer, a Christian, as well as that, you know. Where people think, oh, Abraham, yeah, I was the father of faith, we call him, and so forth. There is something I want to read in Romans 4:20. If we are thinking not as have a big faith and so on, Romans 4:20 says, meaning Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. One rendering of that verse says, he grew strong in faith, implying that at one time, maybe his faith was even weak, you know. So anyway, that's one rendering of that verse and so on. So you see here, it is good for us to remember this truth, that God delights in delivering people, but only if others will ask him for them. As you stand in the gap for your unsaved loved ones, God will have mercy on them.
Amen.
And save them. We are told of him in Micah 7:18 that he delights in mercy, right? The epistle told us in Ephesians 2:4 that God is rich in mercy. Praise the Lord. Let's move on now. So, not only, Noah was safe and his household and so on, that, but even his nephew, not even his children and so on, was saved. Another one here, Rahab, in the book of Joshua. See example of how God saved people and their household, right? To give every Christian who may have loved one who are not saved a direction that God's intention and purpose was that we should be saved and our household. So in the book of Joshua, we see an example of one who did not even have any practical righteousness whatsoever. But through the hearing of the word of God, she gained faith. And that faith was credited to her for righteousness. God's hall of faith, which is Hebrews chapter 11, only two women were listed by name. Some women received their dead children back to life. They didn't give their names, right? Only two women were named in that God's hall of faith. One, of course, was the honor matriarch, Sarah, Abraham's wife, right? The other, by a stark contrast, is a prostitute. She's even remembered as an alert in that place, in Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the alert Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Where did she get her faith from? We see where she got her faith from the word of God. True faith comes from the word of God. Right? Anyway, our story will surely contribute much to our understanding of how someone and his or her household can be saved. And we know that God told Israel to pass over Jordan and to take the city of Jericho. God told them so. It was the first city in the promised land that they were to possess. And we know Jericho was legally theirs by divine right. We know that. But they now had to go forward and conquer it. Oh, that's the truth that many Christians don't know. God gave you a promise. Come to do your part, amen?
Amen.
Reach on out by faith to receive what God promised you. See, today they are still fighting there. It's their land by right, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are called to fight the good fight of faith, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Has to be by faith. The good fight of faith, and the Lord is with you. Anyway, so we see right there. Jericho was a big walled city. Even archaeologists have discovered this ancient city. And they said that the walls were 18 feet thick and possibly inhabited by many as 80,000 people. Let's see in Joshua 2:1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot house named Rahab and lodged there. See? The only place these two spies could find lodging was in a hidden harlot house. See? She was engaged in a sinful occupation, showing us no matter how bad enemy look, the blood of Jesus can cleanse anything and all things. We praise the Lord.
Amen.
Whether they are drug addicts, they are murderers, one time somebody asked Charles Graham Finney, "If I have committed murder, can I still be saved?" Finney said, "Yes, you can be saved if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Like the Jesus said, "What should I do to be saved? believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, so we see that here. She was not an Israelite or a child of promise. But where did her faith come from? She has heard what things the Lord had done to for Israel. And knew the spies were men of God, for she said, that's where our faith comes from. It has to come from something from God. And let's see what she said. Let me see here. 1 minute, please. Now, in Joshua 2 verse 10, for we have had, we people of Jericho, you see, only have believed that kind of thing, you know. Other people here in anything, anyway. For we people of Jericho have heard how the Lord, he called him the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. And he heard us, was calling him the Lord. See, something was predestinated, right? How the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, meaning all the people of Jericho. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now watch again. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above, and in heart beneath. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And hallowed, the prostitute saying that, predestinated. Oh, many religious people will be surprised at the end of time. You know, who say they are religious, they are this and that and so on. You know, he told the Jews and all that. Anyway, so we see what happened right there. And so we see. Now, she then proceeded to ask favor of them, in remembrance of the kindness that she will show them in hiding them from the king's soldiers who had a heart that the spies are in town. In verse 12 of Joshua 2, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. You could say by the Lord, right? You know? Since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. See? Thou shalt be safe in thy house, right? My father's house. And give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all the house, and deliver our lives from death. See? All shall be saved, and all thy house, right? It is noteworthy that Rahab's specific request was what she called a true token, meaning a sign. That's what he was talking, asking for. A token is a sign or an evidence. In the 14th verse, the men promised that they will grant her a request to save all of her household. You know, they promised her and so forth. Then in verse 15 we read, then she let them down by a cord through the window. For now, notice this one. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. What kind of a house is that? Is that what the Bible says? Amen. Praise the Lord. I know why I'm saying that. She told the men to get up to the mountains and so on, and they gave her the following instruction in verse 18 of Joshua 2. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Thou shalt be safe and thy father's house, right? that shall be safe at thy house. And of course, Rahab, she replied in verse 21, said, as she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And in the sixth chapter of the same book of Joshua, about the 10th verse, we are told that the Israelites were compassing the city of Jericho once every day. Joshua was told to walk about the city once a day for 6 days. And for the men not to utter one word as they walked about the wall until they heard the blowing of the trumpet on the seventh day. I've paraphrased a lot of chapters in there. Well, don't say nothing, don't shout anything until the seventh day. Contrary to the modern warfare, in ancient days, shouting was the last thing the warriors did when they had conquered a stronghold. But this was to be their cry of victory, right? That they have really won. However, it was the first thing Israel was told to do. You see? Why is that? Because of faith, right? So, because of faith. In the face of those words, they were to shout because by faith, they had already conquered according to the word of the Lord. Amen. before they shouted, even before the warfare, right? Praise the Lord. Now, because why? In Joshua 6:2, they knew by faith the war will go there. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You can pursue your warfare with praises, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What happened to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20? 30, trumpeters. And praise the beauty of holiness, right? 3 conglomeration of a national army. You know the story, I don't want to take more time on that. But even the people that praised the Lord went before the army, right? You have to shoot one arrow. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so we see that there. And in verse 20 of Joshua 6. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, we are told. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Her end was a more glorious thing. I can't go into that one right now. So her deliverance wasn't just a human agreement that she made with those spies at all, but a pact she made with God himself. Yeah, God had her. Praise the Lord. A pact that she made with God. See, why are you saying that, you know? And not only was she saved and her household, even her very physical house was preserved. Amen?
Amen.
You say, why do you know? Because I tell you before, in verse 15, her house was upon the town wall, right? And she dwelt upon the wall. All the Bible says, right? And we are told in verse 20, that the wall of the city fell flat.
Yes.
That means the house, part of that wall remains standing, isn't it?
Amen.
He is Savior to the uttermost. Jesus, our Lord, is Savior to the uttermost, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So, a kind of revelation in India, keeping the word of God like that. So, the part of the town wall upon which our house that she dressed in stood, while the rest of the town were fair flat. So we know that what the Lord saved, not only her, as some of that, you know. Now, one thing also is this. The Bible was so specific about the color of that thread that she was to hang upon her window. She might just be told that don't hang this thread upon your window. God gave the color of that thread. Why? Praise to the Lord Jesus. It's so simple. The reason is that it was a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we are told in Acts 20:28 was God's own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is God's own blood. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Signify that God and Christ are one and the same. We can't say it enough. We call the church of today, much bunch don't believe the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, meaning God, right? The Word, of course the Word is Christ, right? And the Holy Ghost. And we are told these three are one. And we are told that God, meaning Christ, is the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Anyway, so it was signified and pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins, right? Saved to the uttermost. Romans 5:9. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See that? Being justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from wrath. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So this alert is mentioned right along with Abel, with Enoch, who was translated, and Enoch was mentioned with Noah, Abraham and so forth, and Moses, Joseph, Samuel and so forth. So as God honored his faith, so he will honor a believer's faith, a Christian faith. And if they can believe God to the saving of their kindred, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all that they have, God is no respecter of persons, brethren. God will do it for you. Only dare to believe. He will save your whole house too. Like we are told in Acts 16:31. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I keep on going on this thing. Let me just give one, summarize one more because of time. Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. You know the story of Cornelius and so forth. He did almost everything right in the eyes of man, but he wasn't saved. He was righteous, he gave alms, he gave to the poor, he even fasted and so on, that you know, but he wasn't saved. All those things couldn't save him, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, you know the story and so forth. Why one of those days, while he was praying and so on and fasting, that an angel appeared to him to read his background and so on, appeared to him. Send down to Joppa and so on and see one Simon, you know, with one Simon the Tanner, and send for him and so on and that, you know. Anyway, you know the story. So Peter came down all the way from there to Caesarea, I believe, where he was living. Anyway, so let me, in Acts 10:24, and the morrow after day, meaning Peter and some of the brethren, enter into Caesarea, right? And Cornelius waited for them. And he had called together, not only him waiting now, his kinsmen and near friends. All over the Bible, we see God saving people and their household, right? So, his kinsmen and near friends, 27th verse. And as he, meaning Peter, talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together, not just Cornelius, many. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake this, meaning preaching the gospel to them and so on, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had the word. What another revelation? The Holy Ghost is for all Christians. Amen.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, these are signs. I mean, this Holy Ghost and so forth is for you and for your children and as so many as the Lord will call. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible says, all of them, his fellow people and brethren and his whole household were saved. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know. So verse 48 says, and then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. No other way to baptize. If you are baptized any other way, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you need to redo it again. Paul did this in Acts 19, I believe it is. To some people, believers in Ephesus. So we know that and so on, you know. So we see right there, brethren. So we're just saying this one to see that Bible says we shall be saved at our household. Not only your children or whatever, but even your neighbor will see, not what Abraham's child, was his nephew. And we see Cornelius, not only just his household, even his kinsmen, and they all came and so on, So we see Noah. So we can keep on going and going and so on, So now, what is our part? I say God has no grandchildren, right? So what do we have to do now? What do I have to do? You have an authority to get your household saved. Believer's authority to get household saved. Now we know this truth. People reject the Lord Jesus Christ because they are not able to see the eternal values clearly. That's why people don't receive Christ. They don't know anything about eternity, right? See? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is he to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, meaning Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine upon them. That is the core of the matter. Once we know why people don't believe, then we have a key right now. They are unaware, many people don't believe, or don't receive Christ, of the judgment that awaits them should they die without accepting Christ as their personal Savior. So we see why they couldn't believe, because they were blinded. And we are told in the scripture, in Hebrews 9:27, what I'm talking about, people who go to a Christless grave, what awaits them is this. Appointed unto men want to die, but after this the judgment. Only those who are in Christ will avoid or escape the judgment of God. So the God of this world, the mind blinder, Satan, has done his work. While we as believers, I do not have authority over the will of a lost person, you do not have authority over the will of any person, but you do have authority over Satan. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus, sir.
Yes,
yes sir. Is the blinder right? And that the one gives you authority over. I told you that, You say, where is the scripture? In Luke 10:19, the Lord told you that. I mean that and so on. The Lord Jesus can give authority. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. So as for our unbelieving loved ones, the word of God clearly teaches that we can get them saved through intercessory prayer. And that we have been given this special authority to bind that mind blinder called Satan. So using this authority, we can bind that mind blinder Satan, permitting the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine upon our unsaved loved ones. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God makes it so simple. Don't complicate it. Just take your place in Christ. Bible says, don't be drawn away from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this morning, enlighten us and so forth, and we can spare all other Christians. It could be your parents, it doesn't matter who they are. We have covered a lot of ground this morning. Noah, his sons and so forth. And Lot, a nephew. See Cornelius, his kinsmen, all around him and so forth, So you can take your place in Christ and bind that man that are called Satan to get your arm off your loved ones, and he has to do it. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee has to bow in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the authority we have in Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Holy Ghost message that Paul and Silas gave to the Philippi jailer is for all generations. When he says, thou shalt be saved, and thy household. It's true today, it'll be true to the coming of the Lord. So Father, we pray this morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that every Christian household, O Lord, or every Christian rather, who may have loved ones who are not believing yet, we reach on out, take the dominion God has given unto them, and to know the root cause why their relatives are not saved, is because the God of this world blinded them, like he did all unbelievers in the same evil personage, and that we have dominion to lose the binding of Satan over our loved ones. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We worship you, Lord. What authority we have in Christ. Thank you, Father. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. So this morning we pray that all of God's children who may have unsaved loved ones will reach on us, Lord, and do what the Lord has to do. So at the coming of the Lord, that the Bible says we shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Lord, the Bible says that in telling us again, in whom all the family in heaven and heart is named, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us and enlightening us this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.